Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms, physical, spiritual, or emotional moms. I just celebrate you today. Also want to acknowledge that sometimes Mother's Day comes with pain, and sometimes comes with sorrow, sometimes comes with deep joy. And so just want to acknowledge in this room, whatever emotional response Mother's Day brings to you, that that would always be an offering to God. Even in joy, we give it back to God. Even in sorrow, we give it to God. Could you use this, shape this, and mold this? Where desires or longings are unfulfilled, they can be fulfilled because you live in the kingdom of God, and there's a place for every dream and desire to be fulfilled. So I just want to declare over you where there feels like there may be pain or sorrow, that there is an open door of joy for you, that God can deposit new dream and new purpose in there. So agreeing for that in Jesus' name. We're going to get right into the word, and I'm going to go as fast as possible. Not really, okay? Just as a mom, I'm going to tell you, if you guys are all being mothered today, get out your pens and pencils, take some notes. Oh, you're going to take a picture? No, we go over this every time. Every picture is... So I just wanted to get one nice one in for you. All right. Taking notes is like essential in church. Remembering what God is saying to you, how he's speaking, because what I'm saying is not the point, it's what he's saying to you that is the point. So get out your pens and pencils, because I truly believe God's going to speak this morning and bring us into a encounter with himself. Our theme this year has been draw near, with the vision of we're not going to be the same. 6 months. We got 6 months to keep changing. Well, seven. Sorry, I was ahead of myself there. The year's moving super fast, so I was just ahead of it. Okay, we have 7 more months to continue in the vision of becoming closer and closer to Jesus. What a sweet task that is upon us as a house, to come closer to him. As he draws near, so do we. So this morning, I'm just going to speak on drawing near. And our response being, here am I. Here am I, Lord. As you draw near, here am I. There are only 7 places in the Bible that we hear this response when Jesus calls to someone. And here am I. The response is an invitation for the Lord to draw near to us. We hear this from Abraham. We hear it from Jacob. We hear it from Samuel, from Isaiah, from Ananias, and from Moses, that when the Lord drew near to them, their response was, here am I. If you know your Bible well, you actually know what their responses were, what they got to do for the Lord. That response needs to be inherent in us when the Lord speaks. And when he speaks, our response is important. It's so important what you say back to the Lord. It's important that you pause. Your posture in response is important. When the Lord is speaking, a responsive heart to the call of God is what he's looking for. It's not casual when the Lord calls you. It's not just a flippant moment. It's beautiful and it's life-altering. So here am I, as you draw near, Lord, is our response. So this morning we're going to look at Moses. And we're going to look at being present, we're going to look at being obedient, and we're going to look at letting Jesus use our past for his glory. Amen? Okay, we often in the church think of our future, but I actually want to talk about our past, present, and future today, because it's very important that we don't separate ourselves from what God has redeemed. Where God has called us from is really important, and we can't exit that part of our lives. It's why we love him so fully and completely, is because we remember what we were. Okay? So in Moses is in Exodus 3 here. So Moses has fled Midian. He's fled Egypt. Moses is not fleeing from Midian. Let me just backtrack because that was just heresy. Y'all know I'm going to catch myself, but it might be funny, okay? So Moses has fled Egypt because he has murdered someone who is his people, okay? If you don't know the story of Moses, he was born to a Levite family. His mom has birthed him in a death edict is over the land. She puts Moses in a basket, puts him in the Nile, and just so happens that the Pharaoh's daughter is like, well, this is a sweet baby, I'm going to raise him, and somehow escapes the edict with dad watching. Like, I don't get it, but God's hand was upon it. Moses needs a mother to feed him, so Moses' sister Miriam goes and gets mom to feed him for the first years of his life. While he is being raised by mom, knows who he is. Mom is pouring in identity. Over and over, you are a Hebrew child. You're an Israelite. You're a Hebrew child. You're born of God. You were saved. You're redeemed. You're born for a purpose. There's a reason you're still alive. I don't know what it is yet, but it's on you, okay? He then goes to Pharaoh's house and is raised in their ways, remembering his ways, okay? Why he gets so upset and murders someone is he sees his people being absolutely enslaved and mistreated. From his perspective, those are his people. Okay? The place that he's being raised, those people are injuring his people. So there is a justice in him that wants to be unfolded, okay? He murders somebody, and then he flees to Midian. Flees there, finds a wife in the middle of the wilderness. So let me just side note here, there is hope. If you can find a wife in the wilderness, welcome to abundance, all right? Okay, so he is... he's in Midian. After killing an Egyptian, he's married to Zipporah, and he starts working for his father-in-law as a shepherd and becomes a father. This is Moses' life up until we see him. Life is unfolding while he's in the wilderness. Let me just pause here. Life is unfolding even if you're in a wilderness. Life is unfolding. Your wilderness seasons will be some of the most important in your life. They will shape you and make you. So if you are in a waiting pattern, if you are in a wilderness, if you feel like God's been quiet, let me tell you, this is the most important season that you may go through. It might change your trajectory, okay? It did for Moses. In Exodus 3, verses 1 to 5, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?' When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.'" Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's alive, that it's active, that it teaches us, it plants hope in us, it rebukes us, it takes things out of us that need to come out. God, it brings your truth and light to bear. Father, I ask that your spirit would come now and breathe upon your word. God, that we would receive from you and your kingdom what you want to put into our spirits today. God, I ask for tenacious faith to come out of the ground today and be met with tenacious activity. God, I thank you that there is a part that we play in the kingdom. So God, I ask that right now you would captivate our minds, our spirits, our thoughts, our souls. God, that it would all be made subject to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your presence. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to look at Moses' response. There's three of them. First of all, Moses was present. Sounds obvious. But how many have talked to somebody and you're like, where are you? They're there, but they're not there. Okay, Moses is working. He's doing his thing. He's out taking care of the sheep, which I'm sure could be like, I don't know about you, but get distracted by nature, just looking around. Moses is doing his job, but he's present. I'm leaving it hang here because how many of us are so distracted that we don't even look around at what God's doing? We go from scrolling to listening to reading, to watching, to maybe I should go talk to somebody. We are entertaining ourselves to death, and we can't be present with ourselves. We have no idea what solitude will do for our spirit. We just keep numbing so that we're not present. Okay, we can't ask for God to speak to us and then not be present. How would you ever say, here I am? We need to be present, okay? Moses is doing his routine in his job. He's leading the sheep in the wilderness, and he's waiting. In your waiting season, you have purpose. There's massive purpose in your waiting. So be present. If waiting for you and being in the wilderness is grumbling and complaining, you can miss the voice of the Lord. It can come through a sweet whisper. It can come through nature. It can come through someone else. It can come through your quiet time with the Lord of, man, I just got some revelation while I journaled my tears out. It could be coming through lament. It could be coming through, again, any sort of way. But you have to actually be present. Removing distractions is so important, okay? So you're filled with purpose in the waiting. In being present, there's so much purpose. Moses was willing to be curious while he was serving. In your jobs, God has given you platforms that you could be curious and look around and say, what are you doing here? Why am I here? Let's hand it to Moses. Like, he could have been grumbling and complaining. He grew up in a palace, and he's in the wilderness tending sheep. Kind of a different life, right? Okay, some of us would be a little upset about it. Stupid dust. My feet are always dirty. I don't have anybody to wash them. Nobody makes me food. Come on, like, would we be grumbling? Moses is present. He's removed the grumbling to say, here I am, Lord. Okay, so in your daily life, have you made space for him? Is there places where he can speak to you? What is the time that you're like, this is your time, God. I'm not going to let anything interrupt this. Make space so you can hear him. Moses is able to discern when something is new and different because he's present. Okay, I'm going to use this as a example. We were at a church one time, and there was a glory cloud in the side of the church. Okay, a supernatural glory cloud. If I was on my phone scrolling, I would have missed it. God's able, and he's present. Am I? Am I present enough to see him, to hear him, to see what is new, to see what he's actively doing? I have to be present. Okay? You need to be present. Can he find you throughout the day? If he calls your name, can you answer? Can you hear him? God calls to Moses, and Moses says, "Here I am." The Hebrew word for this in this context is hene, and it's a declaration of being present. "Here I am," says, "I'm present, Lord." Roll call in school when you were little, if you're like as old as me or young, older, they call your name and you're like, "Present," means I'm here. You can see me. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready. Okay, that's the context of this word. I'm available. We need that as a response to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to truth, and Moses is led to discover the holiness of God through his response. Okay? Holy ground is what we're coming into. So we're looking for these huge moments in our lives, literal burning bushes, but what precedes it is the ordinary. If we refuse to be present in the ordinary, please don't ask for burning bushes. You'll miss it. God will not waste his voice or his presence. We need to be present so we can see it and we can partake of it. Okay? What if he wants to show up in just your mundane life? Okay, ever been like rocked by the glory of God while you're washing your floor? Just talking to the moms right now. You know, taking some pudding off the wall, all the art that was there. You're just like, "Oh God, you're so good." Like the presence of God can be in the mundane. Okay, while you're at work and you're just lost in wonder about something, God can speak to you. When we have those momentary places where you're like, "What are you doing right now?" Doesn't matter about all of my job. I can take one moment and go, "Are you doing anything right now that I need to be listening to or looking for?" That was Moses' heart. In the everyday and in the ordinary, asking him to show up and show himself. In Romans 1:20, it says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Though through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." The earth is full of his voice. Pay attention. Pay attention. If this is new to you, God is everywhere. He's everywhere. Pay attention to his voice. What we need to ask the Lord is, "Give me eyes to see and ears to hear you." Jesus, do that in us. He's always speaking, so be present. The second thing is we need to respond by being obedient. We see this in Moses. Moses takes off his shoes. Quite a response to holy ground. I don't know if I'd take off my shoes while something was burning. Seems like the opposite response that I would do. I'm like, "That's going to get hot, so I'll keep my shoes on as protective gear." Moses takes off his shoes because it's holy. He's taking off what would protect him. He's taking off what would keep him from experiencing the full measure of what's going on. He's taking off what's earthly and saying, "Come, I'm ready. This is holy ground." His response is he responds to his voice. "Moses, take off your shoes." "All right, done. I'll do whatever you ask because I'm present and now I'm going to obey you." So the way it looks to others when you obey, does that throw you off in your obedience? Do you measure your response of obedience by what others will think? "I don't want to take off my shoes. Somebody's going to smell my feet. I don't want to do that. What will they think?" There's so many things that we process through other people's thoughts, and it's God who is speaking to you. It's the creator of heaven and earth, the one who formed you and made you, that is asking you, hey, move this way. And our response is, what will somebody else think? And it doesn't make sense. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to your destiny. He's speaking to your purpose. Our job is to go, yes, Lord, I hear you. I'm all in. Okay? Here's a kicker for you. I'm kicking myself. What has God already said to you? Are you doing it? If not, go back. Sometimes we don't like what we heard from the Lord, so we ask him for another word. Come on, you can giggle. That's human nature. That's hilarious, Lord. What else you got for me? Does this include like dripping in gold and some RSPs that are just flourishing? I would like some of that. Okay, what was the last thing the Lord said to you? Have you obeyed him? Because that's where he still is. He's at that word, asking you to join him. Be present with me in this word. Come and obey me, and then I'll show you the next step. So go back. What is his voice speaking to you today? We're not just hearers of the word, we're doers. What is he saying to you today that you need to do and partner with him in? Transformation is in your lips and your actions. Moses leans in, that's his action. Then he's like, whoa, this is holy ground. Shoes are off. Actions. Speak, Lord. Here I am. Words and actions lining up. So I want to ask you again, if God's spoken to you and you're present to hear it, are your words and your actions lining up to his voice? Moses' pursuit towards God creates a place for God to work with and through his obedience and availability. Change starts forming in Moses. I can't imagine the encounter that Moses is having. Because let's remember, he knows that he was saved as a baby, but then raised in Pharaoh's house, kills someone, and then is out in the wilderness leading sheep. I can't imagine what this bush would mean to him. Of God, your hand has been on me this whole time. I've been running and running and running from you. And now you're here. This bush would have been like massive transformation in his life. And his response and obedience to it brings a new place for fresh revelation for Moses. Moses takes off his shoes through obedience, and the revelation becomes holiness. There are measures of God's face and attributes that you will get to in life through obedience. Just your simple yes will lead you to see more of his face. When we give God our actions and not just our words, it's an invitation to experience his holiness and participate with his divine nature. How else will you see God at work unless you're involved? You have to be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear. You need the lips and you need the actions to let revelation actually change us and move us in, okay? So we need to experience his holiness through our actions and our words. Just words do not get us the expression of his face. It's the actions that follow because they required faith. They required obedience. Third thing, let him use your past. In the next part of Exodus 3 and 4, God lets Moses know his heart and his intentions for what he wants him to do. It starts with the burning bush. Curiosity to lean in, obedience to flip off the shoes, and acknowledge the holiness of God. We find in Exodus 3 and 4, God starts speaking to Moses. Here's what's next. God's placing hope in Moses. You have to keep this in context. Moses is a murderer. And God's speaking to him that you're going to go back and you're going to get my people. Like the people who have a warrant out for my arrest? Those people? They know who I am, people? The people I ran away from? The people who mistreated my people? Moses starts discovering God's plan and purpose. Why did he need a revelation of holiness first? Because this is a big, tall order. And it's a little bit harder to say no to a God who's revealed himself to you. You're responsible for revelation, by the way. God's revealed himself to you and encountered you. You're responsible for that. We have to live to the measure that he's called us to. So God gives hope into the heart of Moses for the deliverance of oppressed people. Can I tell you that's why you're here? Have you looked around at our society? I'm sure you have. That was kind of a hypothetical. Oppressed, lonely, isolated, hopeless. Without Jesus, this is an oppressed people. What has God given you revelation for that you need to be a deliverer for? You're not called to remain in four walls. You're called to go back and get them. Go get them. Okay, Moses is being filled with hope. Moses was born in a time when the king of Egypt had ordered all the Israelite baby boys to be killed. Okay, awesome. We live in a land like that. Babies are losing their lives every day. Could we do something about it? I don't know. Moses was born by God's grace and placed in the Nile and recovered by Pharaoh's daughter to be raised in Egypt in Pharaoh's house. Some of you are in places of employment that you're like, what am I doing here? This is evil. I don't like it. You're there to be a deliverer. You're not there to partake. You're there to be a deliverer. Where and what has God placed in you that he needs? Your past will inform your future. This is just how God works. He wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. He will not waste a tear. He will not waste a disappointment. He will not waste despair. He will get you to the point where you're like, I gotta go back. I gotta go back. I remember what that feels like. I know what it's like to live there, and these people need freedom. Who came for freedom? Oh, you can participate. We'll just pretend we're in a big LMI class. Jesus. He died for freedom so that we could be set free. And then when we encounter him, our response is, yes, Lord. Now where do you want to send me? Where do my feet need to go that will return for people to come with me? There are places that God was calling to Moses to overcome in. Moses was serving in the wilderness, leading sheep. Guess what he was about to do? Go lead stubborn people in the wilderness. God will not waste a minute. He won't waste a minute. He's training you now for what will be in the future. What you went through in the past, you were being trained. Just ask for eyes to see it. New perspective, please, Jesus. What was all that for? What do I need to grow in so that I can bring oppression down and bring hope? Okay, there are places that you are being called to from the past and the present that no opposition can stop. If God says so, he says so. Moses, go get my people. But I stammer. Well, here's Aaron. Now go get my people. But how will they know? Here's a rod. What else do you need, bud? Like the burning bush, the holiness. I told you, here's what's going on. I saved you since you were a baby. Guys, ask for eyes to see. Where have you been? God, what have you been putting in my hands? Who is around me that I need in this journey? And go back. There's places of redemption that need your touch because of what you've been through. Okay? Moses comes at him with, excuses like all of us do. God, maybe you don't know who I am. I'm pretty quiet and I don't think so. Too bad. He's going to bring somebody in your life like an Aaron to help you. Look for them. That's your job. That's not his job. That's your job. Okay, you said this. Now what do I need? That's the question. Not, I can't. Okay? Moses is not moving out into it because of shame. But God, I killed somebody. Just so you know, I've never killed somebody, so I don't know what this feels like. But I can imagine the heavy weight of going back. And it was Egyptians that caught him, by the way. So, just going to tiptoe back into this. Hey, guys, what's up? Just heading into the palace. You all know I killed someone. You might be dead for stepping in the palace. That's intimidating. But it could also bring a ton of shame. God, how could you use me? I'm the worst. I killed someone. It's in the Ten Commandments that I have not written yet with you. I just know it was really bad. This is a good one, right? Thanks, guys. Appreciate your support. Okay, Moses, in his shame, is letting his past dictate his future. But shame doesn't come from Jesus. Redemption does. Hope does. Future does. If anything is speaking to you that's shame, it's a cycle and you need to break it. That's your job with Jesus, to go, what was I redeemed from and for? And now God, lead me. I refuse to sit in this place of shame where I just beat myself up about the past that's already forgiven and under the blood. I'm not going to partner there anymore. Okay? Moses is not alone in this method of conversation with God, is he? No? Just me? It's always just me. We bring up our inadequacies before the Lord like they impress him. And he's like, whoa, maybe you don't know who I am. Maybe you don't know the fullness of what I did for you yet. Go back to the revelation you got about him and live in it. Don't forget who he is, not who you are. We're not serving ourselves, we're serving Jesus. Our inadequacies come under the blood of Jesus. They come under the cross. Our past fears, our shame, anything that would remind us that he's not big enough and he's not the greatest over us is called shame. And we need to partner with him and break it. Okay? There are places that God is calling Moses because his past and present, there's no opposition that could stop it. God is calling to you today. The I am, the one who is with you always, in everything, always present. The I am is calling you into places that only you can bring his deliverance to. Because he's been using every moment. I need you to know.